And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous, Monumental, Most Fascinating, Massively Mind-Bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, praise the Lord. We've finally reached the portion in the book of Job where after two fantastic chapters and 29 less than fantastic chapters, there is a response. So far in the story, we have encountered various characters: God, the devil, angels, Job, his wife, his children, his laborers, and his three friends, who were in fact miserable comforters. And now we are introduced to the new character named Elihu. Next, he's younger and therefore speaks from a different level of experience, but he is less bitter, so his speech carries a greater sense of purity. In the more accurate translations, it states that Job justified himself rather than God. This made Elihu angry, as well as the inability of Job's three friends to answer him. Yet they still condemn Job. In a sense, they functioned in condemnation without proper verification. And finally, he remained faithful to the Lord, and the Lord intended to demonstrate to Job and to affirm that. And God intended to demonstrate and affirm that to Satan. What? God was going to show that off? Yeah. In the end, actually, God won the battle and shoved it in the enemy's face because Job did not curse God. But he still had some explaining to do, just like we do.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Wow. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey. So much more. We're asking you, what do you think? You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, my friends, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Let me tell you what talking to Dynamite D is like. It's like getting your refrigerator repaired after it's been busted for a week.
Oh, really?
Yes. You know what we ended up doing? So it's not like we're going to go buy a new fridge. That's not going to happen. Okay, I'm just letting you know. So, you know, you understand fully now, though, where the English come up with ice box, because we took bags of ice, put them in the fridge to sustain and maintain as much food as we could, and we had to do that for almost a week as the parts were being brought to us so that the whole thing could get repaired.
Oh, man, Dave.
And you never really appreciate your refrigerator until it don't work.
I can see that.
And you're like going, I think I'll just get me a real ice cold water of nothing because it's not cold. Anyway, my point is, so talking to Dynamite D is the blessing of the next day. Opening up your fridge and it works. That's pretty good, people. That's pretty good right there. Here is the bottom line. Maybe you've got a prayer request and you got something that's going on and you're having a hard time with it. And we get that. Maybe instead of thinking down those that way, you're thinking, you know, I cannot believe how blessed the Lord has poured his graciousness, his kindness, his gifts upon me. His goodness is way past me. And maybe you just want to share that. Maybe you got something going on and you're just trying to figure it out and walk through it together and need brothers and sisters to stand by you. We'll pray with you. We'll rejoice with you. We'll cry with you. We'll do what we can to love you the best we can and encourage you to draw closer to the Lord, because that, my friends, that is going to be the solution to everything you come up with. I know, and the world's like, it's going to be this. No, it's not. In the end, man is self-destructive, and God is the giver of life. And if you're a person that thinks you're going to find the solution within yourself, all you're doing is continuing to fool yourself. That's not the answer. He is the answer, and he's waiting for you. Stop hesitating. Some of you are Christians, and you're like, I believe. I need to do everything I can. You know, sometimes you need to do nothing and come before the Lord and yield. That's what you need to do, okay? Now, if you got something going on you want us to talk about, great. We're not really a Kvetch Fest place, so, you know, I understand there's a lot of stuff going on right now in society. I just want to point this out. When I started radio 10 years ago or 11 years ago, there was a lot of stuff going on in society. Before I started radio 11 years ago, 11 years before that, there was a lot of stuff going on in society. I mean, I bet you when they had the thing going on with the missiles over in Cuba, I bet everybody thought this is it, right? I mean, I bet that's happened about 1,000 times, right? Here's the bottom line. Next week, next month, and if the Lord tarries next year, there'll be more news. But it won't change that God is in control, will it? Right? That's why you want to leave it in his hands. Here's your trivia question number two. So we just did that first one, and that had to do with Luke. Now here's the next one, and think of this, and I'm going to read it, and then you can tell me what the book is. Which book starts with, "The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach"? Which book starts with that? And by way of a hint, which book follows the Gospels? See how good that is? It's so good. Which book follows the Gospels? See? That's the author. See? Okay. All right, if you think you know, that's right. It's a Monday, but it's a fun day. I'm having a great day. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send in an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay, somebody has called in, so let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, this is your brother.
Hey, brother. What's going on? I still have to keep losing weight or you're always going to be my little brother. So that's... All right, let's do the triv question first. That's a good one, huh? Here's the triv question first. Here we go. Which book starts with, "The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach"?
Well, before I give you an answer, can I borrow an axe?
That's it, brother! Let me borrow an axe. Now, what I love about that is Theophilus. Now, we've talked about it before, and you probably remember. I'll give you the shot to remember, but you remember what Theophilus means? Theophilus.
Thea mean God.
Yeah, right?
Theophilus. Theophilus mean maybe a food?
No, but that's good. That's a good try. It's Theophilus means one who loves God. And what's amazing about that is that he writes that book and it's like to one who loves God. Like that applies to all of us, huh? That's kind of cool if you think about it, right? That's cool. What's going on with you? What's happening, bro?
Just pray for our friend. My heart is still heavy. They buried their oldest son yesterday, and the youngest, a six-week-old, is still on a life support, so just pray. It's kind of really, really sad situation.
Let's pray, because it's a disaster. Yes. It's terrible, but only the grace of God can pull them out. So Let's pray about it. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. Lift up Samson. Thank you, Lord, that he carries the burden because you like that. You like it when your people hold other people's heaviness. And he's holding it, Lord. But he can't sustain it. He needs help. So we're here to pray with him, to stand with him, and to stand with this family who has been through a disaster that only understanding the devastation of sin could really explain to any of us. And we ask that you would bring comfort to those who are alive, who are still fighting for life, that they would be sustained, that they would be healed, that they would be touched. And we ask you to comfort the heaviest of hearts. We can't even imagine the heaviness of their heart, but you can. And we ask you to not only to share that pain with them, but to remove that pain and fill them full of hope. Because without that, they got nothing. Lord, please help them. Help them as only you can. And as only you do, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, and I appreciate the
You prayer. Got it, my brother. You got it.
Okay.
Love you,
Thank
bro.
You. Love you, too.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah, so you go through different things. You think all the stuff that we're going through, and you think of that. It's like that's that level is, you know, a whole new level, right? All right. All right, so we are going to do a couple minutes. I'm not going to go into the depth of the teach, but I am going to do a few minutes because I'm so glad to get out of chapter 3 through 31. I know that's terrible to say. I don't care. Chapter 32 changes everything. Chapter 32 of Job, verse 1. Chapter 32 of Job, verse 1. Job's three friends refused to reply any further to him because he kept insisting on his innocence. Okay? I what I want to do before we get into verse 2 is just set the stage. They came, they were there to comfort Job. Pretty much what they did was tell Job, well, you did something because this is all happening because you're guilty. And Job's like going, I didn't do anything. That part wasn't the problem. We're going to see, first of all, that as Job says that, he goes further than that. So he doesn't curse God, but he's upset because, hey, this what is going on? But what he doesn't even recognize, and I think what's important for all of us to grasp, is that this process now has brought him to the brink where he is so frustrated in his faith. And why that's important and why his friends are frustrated, because they're not getting anywhere. Job's not getting anywhere. And this is in Holy Writ for you and I to understand these human moments. Now, there is a divine response. There is a divine answer that's coming, and it's just absolutely, it just floors everybody out. There's nothing anybody could ever say once the divine answer comes in. But the connection to the humanity that's going on, the friends have reached their point, I can't help him anymore. He won't listen to anything I say. And Job going, I didn't do anything wrong. This is a human drama that we need to stop trying to over-spiritualize, and in the sense that we try to, well, it's just the spirituality of it all. It's like, are you kidding? This guy lost not just his life, but his kids, everything that's going on, and it just makes no sense, and the friends can't seem to come up with anything that can help, and these are all people, and what's the one thing that's seeping in a little bit that maybe people don't want to ask or answer, and that is there's a little bit of bitterness here, there's a little bit of frustration, there's a little bit of struggle, and this is part of the you face God when you're going through your toughest time, and you go, I just don't get it. And the Lord's not up there going, can you believe he doesn't understand? Can you believe he doesn't understand? That's what it is. It's when we take that I don't get it and move it to a blame. It's when we take the I don't know it, I don't understand it, I cannot relate that this is even happening to me, and then we finger point. That's what's setting the whole thing up. Don't be less than human when you read. Be a person. It's like this friend's got, they're frustrated, right? They don't have the same right to be frustrated. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But they're not talking anymore. That's it. I don't got nothing to say to that guy. He won't listen to me no matter what. We've all met people like that. But look,
This is Job. He's not an unrighteous man. He's a righteous man. And the irony is his actual trial comes about, wait, because he's good, not because he's bad. Just think of that for a second. The actual trial comes about because Job is good. That's why the trial came. You keep must be this, or did this to anger God, or this is happening. This happened to Job because he was good. Think of that. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
If you're a small business owner with a website that is ugly, outdated, or just plain non-existent, you're probably missing out on a lot of business opportunities. Unfortunately, the web design industry is not a friendly place for busy small business owners. A typical web design agency charges roughly $90 per hour to build a simple business website, which means you'll spend thousands up front, even for a bare-bones site. But the do-it-yourself option is a road that often leads to headaches and hardships. Here at Cowpunch Sites, we've pioneered a fresh and affordable website subscription model. For just $57 per month, we'll design and build a custom professional website you'll love to show off. And on top of all that, we'll continue to manage your website, making all the updates and changes you'll need for as long as you're a subscriber. It's sort of like having an in-house web designer at a tiny fraction of the cost. Find out how we're different at cowpunchsites.com. Check out what Cowpunch Sites can do for you at cowpunchsites.com.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus' longest sermon that's recorded is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, which takes about 25 to 30 minutes long. It takes about 30 minutes to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So here's a lesson for pastors and preachers everywhere. Jesus said everything he wanted to say on the Sermon on the Mount in 30 minutes. Paul took 12 hours. God didn't record a single word.
The David Spoon Experience on 770 KAAM.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for our next trivia question. This is going to be a Paulinian epistle. What does that mean? That means that Paul wrote it. Okay, that's your first hint number one. Then I'm going to read, you tell me what book this starts with, and then I'm going to give you the big hint, okay? All right. Which book starts with Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope? This is the first of the pastoral epistles. Which book starts with Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope? Which letter of Paul's letter starts with this? It is the first
of the pastoral epistles. Now, originally, I was going to pull these back and do easier ones, and then I thought, you know what? That is not the answer. The answer is not just to make everything easy. Sometimes you got to think about it. You just got to think about, well, which one starts that way? And that's important for us to know, and so that's why I went with it, okay? So I recognize it's not easy, but then again, sometimes we do super-duper-duper easy ones and sometimes not so super-duper easy. If you think you know the answer to which epistle, first of the pastoral epistles, think about it. The pastor. So it's a Paulinian epistle. It's written by Paul, and it's the first of the pastor epistles. Right? That should make that a little easier. Which book starts with Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope? Or who is our hope? If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? Okay. All right. So we're going to go into our text. We'll do our comic stuff later because this text is really kind of just absolutely positively fascinating. Okay? Again, if you want to call or anything, you're welcome to. You know that. No matter who you are, we just want you to know you can call in anytime. All right, let's go back into the text. Here is what is happening next. And this is a big moment because this is the entire book. So I want to give Steve, who calls in and talks with us, some props. He talks about the fact that Job, there's a lot of pride in Job's process. And there is. I mean, there's no question that's going on. But I want to use the passage, and I'm going to use a different translation, but I want you to understand that in the best translations or the most accurate translations, I'm going to give you that definition as well. So here it is in verse 2, Job 31, verse 2. Elihu, son of Barachel, the Buzite of the clan of Ram, became angry. He was angry because Job refused to admit that he had sinned, that God was right in punishing him. Okay, and it just stopped. Because in most translations, it will say he was angry that Job justified himself rather than God. I think in the ESV, you have the ESV there? What is
this is the NIV.
Okay, the NIV. What does verse 2 of Job 32 say?
He became angry with Job for justifying himself rather than God.
Right there. Stop. He became angry with Job for justifying himself rather than God. That is it right there. Let me explain to you how deep theologically that is. Okay? I don't care. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you heard before. I hear it every day, and I recognize I'm so far from this. Everything that God does is perfect. Everything that I do is not perfect. God should always be justified in declaration. I should not be justified in declaration. What Job failed to do in understanding God and in knowing the character of God. How do you know the character of God? Well, you start off with Genesis 1:1. You finish to Revelation 22:21. You hang out with him in prayer. You hang out with his people in fellowship. You get to find out who God is. Here is the nutshell. We spend our time on earth thinking that we are justified in the things that we think, say, and do. And we justify ourselves. We make ourselves right in the process. While we should be justifying everything God does because of his revealed character to us through his word and in our life. And Job, who knew God probably a lot better than a lot of us, didn't justify God. He justified himself. I know, but compared to all those other people, I know, Lord, but look how good I do. I know, Lord, but look what I gave up for you. Look what I'm willing to sacrifice for you. I know, Lord, but I know, Lord, but I know, Lord, but. You know, in that passage in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I was praying about that the other day, actually recently, and I think we may misunderstand Jesus's response. because Jesus was always talking about the Pharisees and the Sermon on the Mount and dealing with them. That whole thing led up to the Pharisees being hypocritical because they thought they were self-righteous. And when Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I think that's actually as opposed to seeking our own righteousness, which is false. We think, well, that means be righteous like God. Maybe, but it also probably could mean seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness instead of establishing your own righteousness. This is where that applies. Because what we do is we justify ourselves. How can this situation, Lord, bring you honor? How can allowing this possibly be right? I'm sure many of us would think that and say that until we consider somebody like, I don't know, Joseph, who, of course, was sold by his brothers, but then, you know, falsely accused of rape, then thrown in jail. And then, I mean, just like all of that to save a nation. But we don't think in those terms. We think in the terms of what we go through. And I'm not trying to chide anybody. I'm trying to tell you this is a problem we all have. We spend a lot of our life justifying ourselves. And that's not permitted because no flesh, how much flesh? No flesh will glory before his presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29. Nobody will boast. Nobody will stand. Nobody can stand before God and say, I am fully innocent of all. Was Job worse than other sinners? No. In fact, the opposite is true. Why did they even have the argument? Why did they even have the bet between God and Satan? Because God said, look how good my Job is. Look how good he is. Because God said that, that's what happened. It wasn't based on Job's unrighteousness. It was based on his righteousness that the whole thing erupted in the first place. But Job made a mistake by justifying himself instead of God. And you and I go through go through a lot of ups, a lot of downs, and there's a lot of ups. Let's not, misunderstand. There's a lot of glory. There's a lot of grace we get, a lot. But when we're hurting, we tend to justify ourselves and not God. That's what got Elihu angry. You have to recognize the Holy Spirit giving this young man insight into a situation that he's a little more distant in, since everything he's doing is observing. But he got it right. He was mad at Job because Job justified himself. And then he was mad at his friends because his friends condemned Job, though they had nothing to condemn him with. That is the lesson of Job. That's the biggest lesson there is. You spend the rest of your Christian walk every day going, Lord, please, this day, let me not justify myself, but let me make sure to acknowledge and justify you. Then you will achieve just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, it's my plea. Right? All right. Which book in the New Testament starts with Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope? The first of the pastoral epistles is 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, remember the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience. Right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Well, since we're being honest, last week I was diagnosed with cancer, and that has been the biggest red flag. We actually thought, and I know God heals. I believe God heals. We actually thought I was going to begin surgery tomorrow, and I would have been out for about a month, which means everyone would have to do the conference without me, and that was going to be a big deal. We're keeping our faith. We're keeping our head up. We're going to keep working hard. Praise God that my surgery was delayed to after conference, and so really this conference will actually be the last time I get to speak for probably a good 2 or 3 months because of the surgery. I won't be able to speak. And even if you hear me now, I'm speaking kind of not as strong as normal. But I'm kind of excited that this weekend, this conference is going to be my chance to say everything I need to say about Jesus and his love for people. And hopefully, hopefully God can use my story as an example that no matter what you go through, you still have a calling. You still have mm-hmm. a purpose. You don't let trials stop you mm-hmm. From doing what God's called you to do. So yeah. I'm thankful I get to be here for the conference, but that's definitely, been some challenges to get ready for it, but it's going to be amazing.
All right. So there's a great thing that comes out of this from a scriptural point of view that I know, but sometimes hearing it from a third party is always a helpful element. And that is the Apostle Paul was specific in saying that my speech might not be that great, but don't misunderstand the representation and the power of the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit that operates through me.
Yeah.
And so, you can just sit there and say, there's a connection there mm-hmm. between what he went through, because they were making fun of the way he talked right up until he came. And then that changed in a hurry. Right. And so the idea is to understand that. And then also, a mark of maybe dancing, but a mark of notice would be that you're doing this conference and there's a great deal of warfare that's coming mm-hmm. against you. And
Absolutely. It's like,
that's just got to tell you, well, the enemy doesn't move in warfare if there's no purpose to move in warfare.
That's right.
I always try to tell people, Christians, when they go, oh, well, the enemy doesn't care about me. Well, because I never hear him, or I know it's like, that's a problem. That's not a plus. That's a negative.
Yes. Yeah, it's like, that means you are no threat to any kingdom mm-hmm. anywhere, and mm-hmm. that is not good. Let's pray. Can I pray for you?
Yes,
real
please.
Quick? Let's do
yes,
it.
Please.
So, Father, we come before you right now. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would just touch Jason in this surgery process. We know that you can heal. We know that you mend. We know that you help people recover. But you also help people accomplish the tasks assigned to them. And what we pray for is a peace for him and his family. And we pray for a strength, an energy, almost talked about in Colossians, where you give the people the energy to accomplish. And we pray for that energy to work through him, through you, so he can finish the task that was set before him and recognize everything he's doing here has kingdom and eternal value, and nothing should take away from that. We pray that in Jesus' name.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. Which disciple replaced Judas? Which disciple replaced Judas, according to Acts chapter 1. If you think you know the answer, you are welcome to reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We do have somebody calling in. And we're going to give them a chance, but we're also going to prep to send you up to the website. And the reason that we're going to do that is on the website, there's a bunch of, cool little things all over the place. But the big thing on the website is an opportunity to give. And we think that's relatively important because giving is how we sustain the ministry. And we want you to be able to give. And we want the giving to be something that your heart is happy about, not that you feel like under compulsion. So the passage we're using for today, 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Everyone must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. Just think, he loves that. Be that. Check it out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka.
There you go. We do have somebody ready to answer their trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
You know, Gary, I got to tell you, for a Monday, and after I had a pretty nice weekend, I am actually having a fabulous Monday. It's just weird.
Well,
I mean, that's a great thing. It's hard. It's not the easiest teaching, you know, this kind of teaching that we're doing, but I like that because I don't feel like I'm just teaching everybody else. I think like I'm teaching to myself, and I need to be reminded like every 30 minutes apparently. But so I'm doing great, and I appreciate that you asked me that. So I just
and
want
I
you
prayed
know.
For you and all of you yesterday.
All right, my brother. And you know, without those, nothing happens without that prayer. I'm just saying, everybody needs to be doing that. We appreciate you do that for us.
And I'll continue to pray for you.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. All right, here we go. Which disciple, which person, took over for the exited Judas?
Matthias.
That is correct, Amanda! And it's like, what a spot to come. I've always admired the scenario, and the story is fascinating in Acts chapter 1, but what a position to take, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you're one of the 12 now. What? You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's just huge. It's like, wow, what a position. Who would have? I mean, that's just amazing stuff. So how you been feeling, by the way? How was your weekend?
Well, it was about the same.
About the same. That's fine.
Nothing too exciting. I just stayed here at the apartment.
Okay. Well, let me pray over you. I'm just asking the Lord to bless you and to heal you. So let's do it. And I never want you to hesitate calling in because I pray for you, because I just like praying for you. So I hope that's okay for you. So,
okay.
All right, let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. I lift up my brother Gary, asking the name of Jesus Christ that you would bring healing to him, Lord. It's impossible for him to do the things that he even wants to do, stuck where he is or not being able to move about. We're asking you to physically touch him, physically strengthen him, physically pour vitality into his body, into his mind, into his heart, into his spirit. Lift him up and bring that healing power in his life and let him be blessed by you. Let him know that you are with him wherever he goes. You are right there with him. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, and I'll continue to pray for all of you, and God bless you.
All right, you too, brother. God bless you. All right. Excellent job, our bro. He's a fantastic bro. All right, we're going to do our history, and then we're going to do this other part of the teaching. And I just want you guys to hang in there. Just you know, kind of hang in there. Let's do our history sound real quickly. All right, today is peach ice cream day.
Yum.
Okay. You're a big fan of peach ice cream?
Well, I like peaches. So
I like ice cream. See, that's my problem. It's like, I just like, is it ice cream? You know?
Is it edible?
Yeah, is it edible? So I hit my weight low on Friday.
That's
and
a good thing.
Yeah, and then Saturday and Sunday happened, and that's gone.
But you celebrated.
So I'm actually, I did. I did, and I'm actually going to the gym today because I'm so mad at myself because I'm like, what? I can't believe I did that. Anyway, today is also World Emoji Day, which is like, okay, well, can you guys come up with some new stuff? Because I think they're rather boring. Personally, 1790 on this day, the first sewing machine. Probably people are thinking it's going to be Singer, but English cabinet maker Thomas Saint patents a machine that features that are the basic elements of the modern sewing machine. But even though he patented it, nobody knows if he ever built one.
Wow.
So it's like, well, at least he had the idea. That's what I'd say there. And then 1990 in this day, the Minnesota Twins become the first team in Major League Baseball to turn 2 triple plays in a single game.
Wow.
That is impressive. That's tough to do. I just want to say pretty good. All right. Let's go back to this text. I'm not trying to make anybody feel down. So in fact, I'm actually trying to do the opposite. I'm trying to get you to catch that we go through all this stuff, and we're always thinking it's – you know, it's a judgment, or it's, you know, God is mad. I mean, that's kind of what happens in our theology, is everything good, God, everything bad, Satan, and we just leave it there. And it's like, why? Because that's easy. Okay. That's cute, but it's not even close. So it's cute, but that's not how the system operates. All right. If the Lord allows it, and we've talked about this before at length, there is purpose to God's discipline, to God allowing anything to take place in your life. There is a purpose, a greater purpose than humanity is, you know, most Christians are willing to examine. Because you get to a certain point and you look up and you go, hey, that's about enough of this. That's kind of what, and it's like, and I understand that I do the exact same thing, but that does not change that everything God does for you and I is for our benefit because he loves us. And you think, you cannot tell me that this disaster can bring about, you know, something good. And my only response to that would be, you cannot tell me the death of Jesus Christ would bring about anything good. Oh, wait. It does. In other words, it's exactly what happened. He's the only one who didn't sin, the only one who didn't deserve it, only one who did everything right, said everything right, thought everything right, processed everything right, and he still was crucified. How could there be any good of that? Well, without that, you wouldn't be saved. So there's something that's good. And you think, well, I'm not Jesus Christ. No, but you are being hammered out into the image of Jesus Christ. So there is that. And when we do go through different processes, the ups and the downs, we tend to forget that this process is God is glory by glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18, glory by glory. We're being conformed into the image of Jesus. Tough to do that if you don't go through some of the things that he went through, is the point. So let's go back to the text in verse 2, Job 32, verse 2. Elihu, son of Barak of the Buzite of the clan of Ram, became angry because he was angry with Job. Job refused that he had sinned and that God was right in punishing him. Better said, of course, that he justified himself rather than God. Verse 3, he was also angry with Job's three friends because they had condemned God by their inability to answer Job's argument. Uh-oh, wait, what? You see, they made God look like a meanie. This is the nicest way I can say this is because they couldn't pin Job down because they were wrong. It makes God look like God's the one who's doing something wrong. It's like that's not how that went. In fact, God was bragging, so they didn't know that. So they're totally speaking out of nowhere, which happens in families and with other Christians as they speak as though their wisdom is prevailing. It's like, nah, not always. Sometimes the Lord will use that, but sometimes he won't use that. And it's important to understand that difference. So Elihu was angry with Job, and then he's angry with the friends because they're making God look goofy. And it's like, well, that's not right either because they couldn't even respond to the guy's argument, right? And then it says, Elihu, verse 4, waited for the others to speak because they were older than he was. This is not a person, Elihu, who has disrespect, exact opposite. This is a person who has absolute respect for the structure of things. He has absolute respect for elders. He's very careful. He's, you know, what he's going to say is really forceful, but he's patient to make the statement. Worst thing I do, I'm sure many can relate to that. But somebody tells me something, and what do you do when somebody tells you something that's going on? That you they're telling you, well, this is going on, and this is going on, then what are you doing? You're formulating the answer that you're going to give them, the response, and you're ready to give them response because you know how to answer, and so we just like answer so quickly. Here's a guy, a young man, less bitterness, a little more wisdom. He's taking his time to answer. That's just a good. Wait. Practical advice? That's just a good idea. You want to know who will testify to that more than anybody else? My wife. When she'll start telling me something, she'll be 2.5 sentences in, and what? What do I do? Well, obviously, you should. So I do this now.
This is funny. I do this now. When I know I'm going to respond faster than I should, I grab my own hand and I squeeze it. I do it like, David, stop. You know, it's like I have to tell myself that. Because, you know, we always have the answer. This young man, Elihu, had more restraint. And good for him, by the way. He did an excellent job in restraining and waiting. And then he's going to share. And his sharing is what enlightens us as to the response, because God is the one that poured it into Elihu. So I want to know what God has to say. Even if it comes through a donkey, I want to know what God has to say. That's how we should always be, okay? Take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table, and somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
If Jesus.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We have somebody calling in, one of our fave people. We will have the phone bring it on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Dr. David. This is Joy Ann. Happy Monday. Loving the show.
Thank you, Joy Ann. Loving it, loving it. How are you doing? What's happening?
Okay, well, I want to share a few praises and a prayer request. And first of all, thank you so much for praying for Nurse Peggy, for me, and for Dynamite D in that very first section of the show on Friday. And Friday evening, I got in the mail a much-anticipated, very long-awaited IRS refund check, and it was even better than I expected.
Praise the Lord.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
That's awesome.
It really was. And then later that evening, my sister, Cordelia, my twin, and my little sister, our little sister has been staying with us for a couple weeks. We heard a knock on the door, and it was our brother, Gene. He is such a godly, wonderful man, and he wanted to spend an hour or so with us doing praise and worship. So the girls and Eugene played their instruments, and we praised the Lord. And then as the visit was ending, I said to Gene, you know, I said, we're having a little trouble with our air conditioner, even though we might have it, the thermostat on 73 or 74. It's been reading 80. It's been hot for a couple of weeks. And you know what that sweet brother of ours did? He went back to the condenser behind the house. He unplugged it. He took off the cage, and he showed us where the tines, you know, the little fins, had collected quite a bit of debris and dust, got the hose out, got that thing cleaned out, and now we're cool and happy. Reminds me of your refrigerator story. You need some little help there keeping things cool. Yes.
That's awesome. And I know how good that feels. Last year we didn't have the air working, so I was like, I get it.
And that's just, you know, Dr. David, that's just one testimony of how the Lord uses us, that we, you know, we pray for each other. We're all going through something. And I love that, Phil, about Jason. I think, was it Jason or Nathan?
Yeah, no, it's Jason. Very yes. powerful.
So we do have a prayer request. Cordelia and I would love for y'all, the audience, to please pray for our very dear godly friend, Peter. He's in New York, and we grew up with his family, and he's been diagnosed with a very aggressive cancer, and he's not an older man. He's, you know, and he helps his family. He's so incredibly gracious and kind. So, Dr. David, would you pray for our friend Peter? He's having some radiation today in New York City, and we're praying it goes well.
All right, let's do it. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. We just thank you and praise you for everything. Even the things, Lord, we don't understand, we know that you'll work them together for good, because that's the commitment you make to us. That's the love that you have for us. And so we come before you because you are our Father. You are our Dad. You are the one that we can rely on. And we lift up Peter to you. Lord, cancer is so tough, but it's not bigger than you are. And so we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would touch his body. He's going through radiation. Okay, Lord, sustain his body, refresh his body, anoint his body to just respond, to move forward, to not only recover but to overcome. Because you created us, and you can take any disease, any dis-ease that's inside of us and completely eradicate it. We're asking you to do that very thing for Peter, not because any of us are worthy, but because you are generous, not because of our faithfulness, but because of your faithfulness. We're asking you to physically touch his body, a friend of your daughter's, and she wants him to be touched, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, and to know it comes from you. You're the only one that can do that. We ask you to touch his physical body in the name of Jesus Christ and bring healing into him and put that song in his heart that we all know needs to be there, and put his feet upon a rock and put a happiness and a joy around him that comes only from your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. We receive and believe that, and we plan to send this podcast to Peter and his family up there in New York, because it's such a beautiful prayer. And thank you, Dr. David. We have more praise reports, but we're going to try to spread it out in the days ahead, because we know you have more teaching. We love you and bless you and praying for everybody.
Thank you
for taking my call.
You got it. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I just want everybody to know, when you have something going on like this, you call us. We'll pray. That's what we do. Why do we do that? Because you're my brother and you're my sister. I know. It's like, well, it's not like my actual brother and sister. Well, right now you should thank God you're not like my actual sister, but we'll move on from there. What it means, that was a joke. So anyway, yeah, let's love one another. Let's take care of one another. Here's the thing that I want to finish up with on Job, and I'll make it real easy, okay? Look, everybody goes through this, and they evaluate, and they try and take this perspective and this perspective. I'm going to give you a kind of a unique perspective, and you might not like it, but I think it's kind of a classic. Ready? God made a bet with the devil. Okay, it's a bet. It was a wager. It was a contest at a minimum, right? Job did not curse God. God stuck that in the devil's face. You can say whatever you want. It's all the time. Chapter 3 through 31. Oh, yeah, I did a lot of, like, self-justifying. We got that. We got that. Go with what Steve said. A lot of pride. Got that. Got that. God won the wager. God won the contest. You want to know something? God doesn't lose. After this process, Job, not only is he highly blessed even to the full restoration of his existence, but now his testimony is a comfort to millions and millions of people who are believers. That's how smart and wise and powerful God is. Takes what absolutely looks like a disaster and makes it this sense of hope and comfort that you could never find anywhere else. So not only did he win the wager and stick it in the devil's face, he then also blessed us with a grace that none of us were entitled to. That is who we deal with. How about them apples? Pretty good apples. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Destroying
everyone and everything. The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.